Well, as I mentioned, that today is Pentecost. It's not really any more special than any other day for the believer. It's a day that we remember that he continues to flow every day. It's not how much of the Holy Spirit we have, but how much of us the Holy Spirit has. And we can allow him to flow through us. We can choose to be used by the Lord. Last week, we started a series called Pursuing Purity. And that's not normally our MO. We do verse by verse, chapter by chapter. But as we finished up Nehemiah, we noticed that in chapter 13, Nehemiah took off and went to Babylon for a season. And then when he came back, he saw Israel was up and down and up and down in their spiritual walk. When the cat's away, the mice play. But Nehemiah came back and their spiritual walk was at a low. It was so low that the high priest made, if you remember, a dwelling place for Tobiah in the temple. Very low place for Israel at that time. And as Nehemiah cleaned house, it says that he restored a national revival. He restored the presence of God's word in the public reading, and he restored personal purity. But what we noticed as we concluded chapter 13, that it can't end in personal purity, it begins with personal purity. If we want that consistent, lasting revival personally, externally, it starts with the Lord working in me, the Lord working in you, and then collectively we start to see revival within our fellowships, our home groups, our churches, our neighborhoods, and so forth. And so I said, you know what, let's look at personal purity. And last week we looked at the call to purity, the importance of purity, and the imperative of purity. We looked at even in Haggai, where he says the works of the flesh don't produce holiness, but really produce uncleanness. And even our worship and our works become unclean. We spent most of the time in Galatians 5 looking at the deeds of the flesh, these impurities, not so much to beat one down, but to identify them. You know, many times when I'm looking at a word in the dictionary, I'll go to a thesaurus and look at all the antonyms, what it's not, what purity is not. And we looked at all those in Galatians 5. And today we're going to be looking at the work of the Spirit in personal purity. Actually, I had something entirely different planned for today, and at the last minute, sometime around 6 o'clock last night, the Lord said, we're going to do something different. And I planned on doing this maybe next week, but we're going to be looking at the role of the Spirit in the life of the believer as he's purifying the believer. We've already talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. We've already talked about the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations, even the baptism of the Spirit. But in light of Pentecost, in light of where we are, I wanted just to highlight a few things to remind us of the life being empowered by the Spirit's. You know, as we read the psalm even today, where David said, you know, the Lord, I walked innocent and had no iniquity. And it's like, wait a minute. David, didn't you read? Oh, wait a minute. You were in Samuel. Weren't you a murderer, an adulterer? But he lived in the victory that he was forgiven. And we need to live in the victory that we're forgiven. And it's the Lord that views us as holy. He views us as clean and redeemed through Christ. And he gives us hinds feet to walk on high places. I think of those goats that can stand just on the ledge of the cliff, you know. And I sure wouldn't do that. But he gives courage and stability to those who trust in their Lord. And I think the Holy Spirit, I know the Holy Spirit wants to empower our lives, and he wants to teach us how to walk in the Spirit. I get that question a lot. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You know, and so we're going to look at that. But so today, we're going to be looking at personal purity through the lens of John chapter 7, 37 through 39. We're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit doing this. So if you would turn to John chapter 7, or you can look behind me, and it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, you got to remember what feast they're talking about. Jesus was there in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, during the Feast of Tabernacles, the priests would take these pitchers, these golden pitchers, and they would go down to the pool of Siloam, and they would fill water up, and they would take it to the altar, and they would pour it out. And it was just a very joyful, jubilant time. It was actually, in the Mishnah, it says, if you have not seen this a celebration, that you have never seen true joy. It was, they were so excited, and it represented how the Lord provided water from a rock as they were going through the wilderness. And it was a joyful time. They did that for 7 days. On the last day, the priest would go and he would kind of do a sneakeroo and not put anything in it. And he would come back up and he would just empty out nothing, signifying that we're in the promised land and we have no need for that water. But inadvertently, they were showing they had no need. They had no filling of the Holy Spirit. They were empty. They inadvertently, in their celebration, didn't realize, we look at it, you know, hindsight's 20/20, that they were empty. And don't we find ourselves that way? Time after time after time, Lord, you got me, Lord, you got me. Then finally, I got this. I got it, Lord. I can handle this. I don't need to pray over that. Sometimes a man falls not on where he's weakest, but sometimes a man falls where he's strongest because he quits praying for that area. He quits submitting that to the Lord, and he falls. And so here on this last day, Jesus is there at the feast, and it says, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, why do you say that? Because the cup was empty. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Isn't it great? The Lord uses the opportune time, emptying of an empty vessel. You guys thirsty? Come to me. Come to me. And this is we see four areas here that we're going to be looking at for a life of purity and a life filled and empowered by the Spirit. Because it is a work of the Holy Spirit. I can't clean myself, because if I could clean myself, then Christ died for nothing. It has to be a work of the Spirit. And yes, there's some obedience on my end to put those things down that defile me. And the first thing he says, if anyone thirsts. Are you thirsty today? Now, there's a difference between wanting a drink of water or being thirsty. David said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Imagine the wilderness where it's dry, it's a desert. They understood thirst. They understood dryness. I have to ask myself, do we really thirst? We have so many things out there to satisfy, or maybe not even satisfy, but if you can preoccupy your time long enough, you might even forget you're thirsty. If you just do this for a while, you go through these motions, and after a while, you're not really thirsty. And does the deep really call to deepen your life? Are those deep areas in your life stirred in your life because you're hearing the Lord and you're thirsting from the Lord? It reminds me back in high school, actually about this time, I think I just graduated. I was working for a gentleman. We were bucking hay. And man, has anyone ever bucked hay? All right, men. That is the hardest job. I mean, there were three of us. One drove the truck. One was walking on the ground, picking up the bales, throwing them on the flatbed. And one guy was on the flatbed, stacking them up. Then you take it to the barn, unstack it, and then restack it in the barn, and then you do it again. And you'd empty out this field, and you did it in the daytime. And we got smart eventually, and we got up really early. Well, it was before it got hot, and then we came back at night and used the floodlights in the evening because it was so hot. But we understood thirst because we were throwing around these bales of dried hay, and we're in the barn, and we're on the top floor where it's hot, and we're just sweaty and covered in this dust. And I would take a gallon milk jug and fill it with water and freeze it the night before. You guys know what I'm talking about? And there, when we take our break, it would melt just enough, and it was ice cold, and all I could do is just wait for a drink of that water. That's when you're thirsty. Do we thirst for the Lord like that? Do we come Sunday morning, or do we go to our prayer closet with that, Lord, I have got to hear from you. I am thirsty, Lord. The cup is empty. He says, if anyone thirst. And he starts it with if. I think of Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, if you will hear the word, don't harden your heart. It's not when, but if you will hear it today. If today you will hear the word. I mean, how many times have we been told an instruction and and finally we're obedient to it. Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to me. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only the Lord can satisfy that thirst. We try to fill it with so many other things, whether it's work, recreation. And yet, if we want a true life of purity, a life that's walking in the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, first we need to really be thirsty, identifying that thirst. And then coming to Jesus. Jesus is the one that says, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he will be satisfied. Jesus is the satisfaction of that thirst. Nothing else is. I love Peter says, draw near to the Lord and he'll draw near to you. Does my thirst drive me to Jesus, or does my thirst drive me insane? Does my thirst drive me? Name it. Are you driven? Or are you led? What is your thirst doing for you? Do you recognize your thirst? Come unto me. Follow me, laying everything aside, anything in the way, any sin that so easily ensnares us. Lay those things away and come to him. I think of the stone there early Resurrection Sunday as the ladies were making their way to the tomb. They forgot about, you know, who was going to move the stone. And praise the Lord, the stone was already gone. But the stone wasn't moved so that Jesus can come out. The stone was removed that we could go in. What is in the way between us and the Lord? What separates us? What is veiling? What things are we filtering our relationship with that if we just so easily remove them, we can see oh so clearly? I was trying to worship this morning, and there's a song I didn't know, and it actually, I didn't see the words because my glasses were so dirty. I had to clean my glasses off, and it's like, I know this song. But when we're veiled with stuff and distraction. And some of the stuff is good things, but if Christ isn't the satisfaction, if Christ isn't preeminent, we will remain thirsty. He says, come unto me. Come to me. And that's it, exclusive. Then here's the easy one. Well, now that you're here, drink it. Take action. Take it in. Act on it. I think I told you the time I was pulled over. Oh, gosh, my mom's here. I know of a guy that was once pulled over. And he was going a little fast because he was trying to get to work on time. And the police officer happened to know him even, which is weird. And he rolled the window down. And the police officer said, what are you doing going so fast, Pastor Dave? And I said, I'm late for work. And he looked at me and said, live what you believe, and walked away. And you know what? I think I would rather have a ticket. I wasn't going that much faster than the speed limit, you know, but it was enough, you know. I think I was only going like 65 and then 25. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But that's it, is live what you believe. Do it, as Nike would say. Just do it. And here the Lord says, you're thirsty, come here. And we finally, resistantly make our way. And now he says, now come and drink. Live it. Live your life. Like David lived his life. David was victorious. He learned to live in the blessing. Jeff and I were talking about, man, we need to learn to live in the blessing. And living in the blessing is more than living in prosperity. It's finding the blessing of the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord is, you know what? We've been forgiven. We've been set free. And we can live in that, not be downcast, not just that guy, and, I'm shamed and look like the hunchback from Notre Dame or the elephant man, you know, dragging that foot. And we don't need to do that. You're a child of the living God. You're redeemed. The Holy Spirit lives within you and within me. We're children of the King. We are joint heirs with Christ. I feel like dropping a mic. Joint heirs with Jesus. Live it. Let's not just treat Jesus like theology. You know, I know an awful lot about Jesus. I know a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've heard, I've seen that before. And there's a time when it's no longer just theoretically it works this way, but you step out of the boat and you actually do it. Kind of like with the kids and the training wheels. You leave the training wheels, and after a while, you take them off, and you're just running behind them. And before you know it, they don't even know it, and you've let go, and they're doing it. And the Lord has got us from the very beginning. And as we ride, as we walk, as we live in the Spirit, as we just drink in all that He has for us. It's not drinking a little of this or taking a little. It's not a smorgasbord. It's taking it all in. As Gil Irwin would say, I want the whole enchilada. Every part. Why would I want to lack anything? Drink it in. We might comprehend much of the gifts of the Spirit, or the manifestations and so forth. But if we don't drink it in, if we don't put it into practice, we still remain dry. We still remain fruitless and just unsatisfied and just kind of doing the next thing and trying to find that gumption. And many people are satisfied with other types of thirst quenchers. Gatorade, Kool-Aid, all those things in life to quench your thirst. Maybe it's you come in and try to be satisfied through the worship. It won't satisfy you. It sure is a blessing to come. And Robert and the guys do a wonderful job. The distractions are down to a minimum that we can see the Lord. But if you're looking to be satisfied by simply the worship, then you'll leave dry. Trust me. I used to lead worship every single Sunday and then teach. And you know what? It just became a chore. I remember one time leading worship and I lost my voice for a while and I couldn't sing. And I can remember just crying out to the Lord in my pitiful, prideful way, Lord, I can't sing. My arthritis set up and my finger does that now. And it's like, I can't play the guitar anymore. And the Lord said, is that all I am for you? Is this the depth of our relationship? Is you playing guitar and singing to me? Is your satisfaction standing in front of people and playing music? And I found myself on my face. No, Lord. Just just entertainment, if it's not moved and inspired by the Spirit of God. Or technology. Man, I sure love the iPad and the computer and the cool sounds we get, but it's just, it's nothing. It's just eye candy. We can even go to seminar after seminar, conference after conference. We can go to good service after good service after good service, and yet if we don't heed what the Spirit's saying, it's just noise. I had asked my brother to pick up a few things at the store. He had to get, man, after my own heart, he had to get some coffee. And he picked up a few things for me. This sucrose sweetener. You guys ever use the yellow packet? It'll kill you. This pink packet here, this is really good for your brain. I don't know what the blue one is. It's worse for your brain. You know what these are? They're substitutes. And life will try to throw you substitutes to the real thing, trying to give you just enough to keep you satisfied coming back. The first one's free. The substitute will never satisfy you. It might look good. It might taste good for a while. But it'll get you. Actually, it'll just leave you empty and dry, thirsty. Jesus says, if you are really thirsty, come to me. Let me satisfy you. Come to me. And then, you know what? And then now drink it in. Would you take it in? I was praying with a group of people just recently, and some guy said, you know what? I don't want Sunday to be my relationship with the Lord. My relationship cannot just amount to what I do on Sunday morning. It has to do with every day that ends in Y. It's got to be who I am within my DNA. My relationship with the Lord has got to be everything. And for him to truly be magnified, for him to be increased, I have to what? I have to let him have every part of me. T.W. Hunt was saying, you know, how does the Lord increase? He's already everywhere. He already knows everything. He's just huge. How does he increase? By us really decreasing and giving him more of us. Lord, you can have that part of my life. Lord, I'm going to give you that much more of my life. I have to let go. If I truly want to be filled with the Spirit, I have to let go. Here Ezekiel is looking at this new temple, and this angel tells him to go measure the waters, and he goes up to his ankles, and the guy goes, keep going. Goes up to his knees. Yeah, keep going. Comes up to his waist. Keep going. And before you know it, the water's over his head, and the water has overpowered him. And some of us just treat our walk with the Lord like kids do as they play in the ocean and they run up and the water touches our feet. Woo-hoo-hoo! And we run back to the shore. And then we get brave like Becca Jane. We get up to our knees, you know, and we're in the water and we're playing. And then we get up to our waist. Now, you know, mom and dad's really mad because they're soaked. The walk with the Lord. And we're trusting him, but we still have some control of what's going on. But then we go over our head and really we're just taken. We've given him every part of us. I think of Peter who stepped out of the boat, truly stepped out of the boat. Drink it in. Many are willing to miss a blessing rather than give up a prejudice. Living with painted fire which doesn't burn rather than Pentecostal fire. Paul says like this, a form of godliness, but denying its power. We can live painted on white picket fences and everything is fine, or we can be overwhelmed with the Spirit of God as we allow him to penetrate and to purify us as we seek the Lord. Imagine me freezing that water. Imagine me telling you everything about the water. That water came from a 300-foot well, purified it 9 times. I can tell you how long it was in the refrigerator, but I never brought that water to my lips. We can know an awful lot, can't we? And yet if we don't drink it in, we remain dry. Finally, Jesus just says, believe. Believe in me. You believed in God, now believe also in me. Just as we received Christ by faith, we receive the second blessing by faith as we just simply trust him and we walk daily with the Lord, growing in his grace, pursuing purity. It's evident that we need to be filled. Ephesians 5 says that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't necessary, he wouldn't tell us. Be filled. Apparently we're leaky vessels. We're cracked pots. We're flawed. And we are depleted in a variety of ways. And sometimes we're not flawed, or sometimes we're depleted because we pour ourselves out. We show up and we serve, we minister, we take care of this and we take care of that. And at the end of the day, we're just like spent. And we need to be filled. Lord, fill me back up. I need firsts. Sometimes it's not that we're dried out, but the river's clogged up because of sin. And the work of the Spirit's dry in our life because there's a dam, there's a log has clogged up the river of blessing because of our sin. And sometimes, you know what, we're dried out because of neglect of personal devotion. We've neglected our schedules got busy. And it's so easy for those to happen. The fact remains, we have to continue to be filled. Over and over to be filled. Our life with the Lord is the life of the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? Keep being filled by the Spirit. What does that look like? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, my basic answer is walk in the Spirit is really walking with Jesus. He's called us to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This is a spiritual thing. The things that we do for the Lord, with the Lord, can't be done in the carnal, the physical. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus calls us to be born again. And as I pursue purity, last week we said, as we pursue purity, really what we're doing is we're pursuing Jesus. As I pursue Jesus, he then empowers me with his Spirit to walk and to take on his characteristics, to take on the qualities of Christ as I start to walk after him. You ever notice that? You look at a child and you can see the resemblance of their parents. You got your daddy's eyes. You have your father's heart. You have the mind of Christ. And we have that. But as we pursue Christ, he empowers us to use that and to think the way Christ wants us to think and to love the way that God wants us to love. As I pursue purity, I pursue Christ and his character. He empowers me to live my life through his Spirit. So then my pursuit of purity allows me to hear the leading of the Spirit. And the more I pursue the character of Christ, the more I walk with him. Listen for his voice. Listen for his leading. This week, as we're preparing for next Sunday, as we're preparing for work, I just would encourage you guys to ask yourself, are you thirsty? Are you really thirsty? And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you and say, you know yet you're thirsty. But the thing is we are. We're leaky pots, aren't we? Let's seek the Lord like our life depends on it. I can't fully be filled unless I'm fully depleted. And so I want to be thirsty for the Lord. And I want to be able to come to him, trust him, and to drink. I like this old song that says, I can't even think how it goes now. Cause me to come to that river, O Lord. Cause me to come to that river, O Lord. Cause me to come. Cause me to drink. And cause me to live. You see, that's really what it's about. Drinking it in, believing in him, and truly living. Allowing the Holy Spirit to empower you to pursue Christ. And we naturally just drop those things, that those impurities, those thoughts. I was just talking with someone recently, and really, is my thought sinful? Well, the word says, take every thought captive to Christ. Every thought. Next week, we're going to be looking at the attributes of Jesus, his nature, and his character. And we're going to be meditating on those things, that those characteristics would be our characteristics. We're going to have communion this morning. And I would just pray that as we are preparing our heart for that, that say, Lord, I am thirsty. And Lord, I am weak. And as we are just, as the elements are passed out, hang on to them so we can take them as a family. Because Jesus said, my body is true food and my blood is true drink. And let him satisfy you in this pursuit of purity. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a time where we can come and dig into your word and to allow you to wash over us with your spirit, to empower us to do this walk, this life, this Christian thing, that we truly would decrease, that you would increase, that we truly would give you every part of our life, and that those things that of the world would just grow strangely dim as we look into your glory and your grace. Lord, if we've been eating things and taking things that are just counterfeits, Lord, reveal that to us, that we could let them drop, that we would truly thirst for you and be satisfied for only you. So, Father, I pray for our group as we are going to worship, and then we're going to go out to the world. And may we shine bright. May we lead people to Christ. May we live victorious lives, recognizing that you have set us free and that you have satisfied our deepest need. Thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and find help in our time of need. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.